Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is America's Team. I'm Austin York. That's Tristan Rines, Dylan Reed. We're back once again, all together after several weeks of absence. And that's because there's not a lot going on after the draft. This is kind of that Deadpool. We saw a little bit of mini camp. We saw a little bit of rookie camp, OTAs. So we're trying to get the idea of what the Cowboys are really going to look like this next season. But before we get into all of that, I wanted to start about with the news that broke today, and we're recording this on a Thursday evening, in which several NFL players from the Colts were suspended because they were gambling. And it looks like one of the guys was actually gambling on his own team and gambling an over-under on rushing yards, it turns out. That's from reports. We don't know exactly what the bets were made. But they've been suspended indefinitely for the rest of this season, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then next season they can reapply to get back in the league. But I find this to be a very laughable suspension. And I'm going to take a very hard stance on this because I just think that the NFL embracing DraftKings and FanDuel and online gambling the way they have, sports gambling, it's absolutely amazing to me that they go after one of their own guys or any players for making a bet on anything. Now, if you're betting on your own team, okay, but you're making a bet on the NBA Finals or something, you make a little side money, $1,000, nothing big. What is wrong with that? Am I the only one in here? Dylan, I'll start with you.
Well, I mean, for me, it's interesting because there is a large amount of hypocrisy towards that, obviously. NFL investing heavily into gambling. We all know that many NFL owners... Heck, the NFL owner here in town, Jerry Jones, very much so wants to install a sports book inside of his own arena. I mean, he's been very open about that for several years now. Now, I will say this. There are two sides of this coin. I think the rule is ridiculous. I think the fact that they're suspending these players, and like you mentioned, as long as, to me, on a personal level, as long as you're not actually gambling on your own team, I think you should be able to gamble even within the league. I just don't see the big deal there. But I will say this. The other side of the coin is this. I kind of look at this gambling thing a little bit like I look at the pot rule, the whole pot thing. You know what I mean? These players know when they're going to be drug tested. So it's pretty easy to avoid getting caught smoking marijuana, despite the fact that a vast majority of the league does so. I kind of feel that way about this gambling thing. I think it's ridiculous. But I also think that the rules are, at least from what I understand, seem pretty clear and they're pretty straightforward. You can't gamble as an NFL player at any level. You can't even play fantasy football. Once again, stupid and dumb, and I disagree with it. But I do think it's like pretty easy to follow. So it puts me in this weird place where I'm like, I feel sorry for the players because I disagree with the rule.
But if they know the rules.
Yeah, but if it were me, I'm kind of like, you know, people, you always hear the like, oh, well, they're young and they're in their 20s. And I'm like, I feel like if 22-year-old Dylan was making millions and millions of dollars and all I had to do was not gamble to continue doing that, I probably would have. So I'm in a weird place. I feel bad for the players because I think the rule is dumb. But I also kind of think they're kind of dunces for gambling when it's so clear you're not allowed to.
I really don't have a nuanced opinion on this. You both make some really good points, to be completely fair here. I don't think it's the biggest thing in the world either. Like,
It's like, come on, man.
I don't really have a prepared answer for this question because there are a couple of different ways of looking at it. I think you do make a great point, though. If your employer says, look, if we discover you've been gambling, then you're out. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just our rules. That's part of our CBA. That's part of the NFL Players Association, the bargaining agreements, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, like, if your opportunity is, oh, I'm going to potentially make millions of dollars or even hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Why would you put that at risk, right? For a simple thing of, oh, I was trying to make a little bit of a parlay. I thought I was going to have a big day and I wanted to bet on myself. Or I thought my boy was going to have a big day. Don't do it, right? Calvin Ridley lost, what, a year, two seasons of his career that he could have been making, what, $30, $40 million. Now he's back with the Jaguars, is finally able to play again. These guys, not to the echelon of a Calvin Ridley, may never see the field again, just... Oh, I threw up a couple bets. Like, there, it's another part of it is the league isn't terribly consistent. You saw Joan, what's his name? Williams for the Lions.
Jameson Williams.
Jameson Williams, excuse me. For the Lions getting a 6-game suspension for bets he made within the team facilities. You've got people looking over your shoulder, your own guys that are supposed to be looking out saying, yo, I don't think you should be placing that
That's
bet.
Bad.
And maybe another part of it is the silliness of you put your own name and information within this. You don't have a guy you can go to for that, too.
And I'm not necessarily sure how they got caught. I know that it wasn't like, hey, this is Austin York, 123, at Gmail or something. The point I'm making is that I just don't think that this is – the consistency has always messed with me with the NFL. They've always gotten punishments wrong. If you're going to punish these guys, sure, fine them. Mm-hmm. Fine the hell out of them. I don't know. Say you get 3 months of your paychecks docked or something, but you can still stay on the field.
Yeah.
The reason I say that is because, like you said, you're ruining these guys' career. And yes, maybe they took the chance that they shouldn't have taken, but we all know that they're young and you're dealing with a lot of money. I just think when you look around the league and you see that they're saying, hey, FanDuel's and DraftKings and GMC or Caesars
The last 2 years, you can't watch a game without seeing a
betting app. God.
Yeah. It's any platform.
Yeah. The Las Vegas Raiders.
It's the Vegas Raiders. I mean, that's one of the reasons the NFL was real reluctant, because they didn't want this kind of thing infiltrating the NFL, and they wanted to keep it nice and clean, and they wanted to protect the integrity of the game. The problem is that that is very hypocritical. When you want to make millions and millions of dollars off these deals with these guys.
Yeah.
And then you have one of your players making $1,000. That's what he made, $1,000. Now, I agree, you hit them a little harder if you find that they're betting on their own team. And this guy, if he was saying, hey, Jonathan Taylor, he's getting a little bum ankle. I don't think he's going to get 75 yards this week. Then go ahead. Go ahead and bust him a little bit more. But the idea that you're just busting him for a whole season is ridiculous. And you gave the six-week suspension on the other guy. That is exactly what I'm talking about. It's the inconsistency. We see this with domestic violence and things like that.
Very inconsistent.
You have a tier list for, okay, the first time you only get a few, and the second time this, and like it just keeps escalating
and
from
there.
And
then you get these
eagle-headed. But you have no clear-cut definitions for what you're going to do for gambling, severity gambling, yada, yada. Yeah,
they're all over the place with their rulings. There's no question about it.
That's one of the things I think the NFL needs to clean up. And we wanted to get that out of the way with that was on bearing on my chest here before we started all of this. I wanted to look at a couple of things. One of the issues that you're going to have coming up here real soon is the Micah Parsons issue. And I know that this isn't the season that they're looking at that. And he's still got a couple of years on his rookie deal. But it's always fun to look ahead. Mm-hmm. And the other day I was sitting in the car with a buddy of mine who was not a Cowboys fan, but he mentioned something. He said, could you imagine what they're going to have to pay a Micah Parsons?
Everything.
I mean, it's going to be a huge number. Now, to me, it all depends on what happens with Nick Bosa, the 49ers, which I think that's going to be coming up relatively soon. He's going to probably make about $35 million a year.
I think the number one salary for an edge rusher right now, we talked about this before, I think it's around $28, $29 million dollars right now. I think it's TJ Watt.
True.
So it's a pretty good thing.
Aaron Donald
at 32, I think.
30 something, wasn't he?
30, it wouldn't
31.
Shock me.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, but it's somewhere close to that.
Yeah.
So one and two, but either way, you're talking about maybe 33, 34, 35, somewhere in that range. And if you're looking at that number as the barometer, then you're looking at Micah Parsons as
higher than
37?
40.
38. So
it's $40 million edge rusher, man.
There is a salary cap, Dylan.
That's fake. Salary cap is fake.
Yeah, that's cat boy stuff.
Exactly.
But I was, for you though, you brought up the point that he was trying to get a little heavier and mm-hmm. work more as a D end.
Yeah.
And you brought up the point that this was going to probably affect his salary. That's why he's saying that. I want to mm-hmm. be known as a D end. Not as a linebacker, because linebackers, let's be honest, they don't make anywhere close to that right now.
Exactly.
To me, I don't think it matters. I think he's one of those guys that's just, you're going to pay that guy an insurmountable amount of money. You better be prepared for it.
Yes.
And you better be prepared quick. What do you think? I mean, am I wrong here? Is this mm-hmm. is this something, is this guy, I see him as the highest paid defensive player of all time. When his contract is signed,
he'll probably be in that ballpark mm-hmm. for sure. Now, and part of it's also a little bit of ego, right? Every time somebody signs a new contract, well, I want to get $100,000 in that guy, or $5 million in that guy. Like, part of that's going to be, but this is one of those cases where it's deserved. Like Micah Parsons is quite literally your game wrecker right now. Yeah. He's entering not even. I would argue he's probably entering his prime years. Right?
Yeah, that's fair.
He's still so early into his career, locking him down. I mean, even if the Cowboys were like, you know what, our number one priority right now is going to get this Micah Parsons contract figured out now, because he's going to cost a ton of money. I don't think anybody bats an eye. That's number one priority.
It's fine.
He game wrecks. I remember the game last year against Cincinnati. He had 3 sacks, crucial moments against the Bengals, and he basically won that game for the Dallas Cowboys. That is the impact that Mike has for you. So a $35 million a year contract for this guy, whether he considers himself a linebacker or defensive end, he's the Swiss Army knife for that defense. He is what makes Dan Quinn's defense chug along and work. Pay him what he wants.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's exactly right. I mean,
he's worth it.
Exactly. I mean, exactly. And you're right, Austin. I mean, do I think that he wants to get a little bit heavier to classify as a DN for financial purposes? Possibly. But at the end of the day, when Micah Parsons comes due to get paid, he'll be the highest paid defensive player of all time, no doubt. And quite honestly, like Tristan just said, it'll no doubt be well-deserved. I mean, he's so much more than just a sack rate, and even he's so much more than a pressure rate guy. Like, he's like, his impact on the defense creates a ripple effect that goes beyond the defensive line. His play in that defensive line affects everything behind him because it's at such a high level. So if he hits 35, if it's 40, who knows what it'll be, 45, who knows? Look, the NFL makes more money than any other league in the world, essentially, and the salary cap's only going in one direction. And I understand that it's considered hard to some degree. I think Stephen Jones and I would disagree on that. And I think that Micah Parsons, yes, like I've been repeating, highest paid defensive player of all time, 35 to 40 million. Who
when
knows?
You have someone like that, and then you have Dak, who's going to cost you probably 43, 44 at the time, even
when
with
Daniel
extension
Jones
there.
Is getting 45, you're probably looking north of that.
Yeah, so
just being fair.
I'm just saying, an extension here. And especially if Dak does anything this mm-hmm. year, now you've got almost a quarter of your salary, maybe a little bit more than a quarter. You're really looking at a heavy portion of that. It was tied up in two players. If you had to choose between one, will you get rid of Dak, or do you say, wow, wait a second here. I don't know how you do that. I just think it to me, I know the quarterback is what the quarterback is this day, and if you believe you've got the guy, that you got to pay him. But if, let's say, Dak does not have the kind of year that you expect him to have this year, and then you've got Micah on the horizon, would there be any kind of hesitation to say, maybe we cut bait right now with Dak and try to go in a different direction while we still can get out of this contract with 1 year left or whatever?
It's such a loaded question.
It is.
It's a very loaded question, because you're working with a lot of what ifs and hypotheticals here.
Yeah.
But let's just say, for the sake of argument, though, let's say Dak has maybe an arguably better year. Like, he reduces the turnovers. They play pretty well this year. They're definitely a playoff team. The quarterback position is still the paramount position of this game. It just is. Mm-hmm. Now, when you have an incredibly talented guy on the other side of the field who can make a difference, like Micah Parsons, that's phenomenal, right? But like, for instance, Aaron Donald. I think there's a lot of people that would argue Aaron Donald's probably the best football player in the NFL currently. And maybe you can feel Micah Parsons is that, but I think there's a good argument for Aaron Donald. He's certainly a first ballot Hall of
Fame. If not now, at least used to be.
Yeah. Aaron Donald can't win the Super Bowl by himself. Uh-uh. Right now, obviously, quarterbacks can't win them by themselves. They need a team around them. But if there's Patrick Mahomes one guy that makes a real difference on whether or not you're putting points on the board, putting your team in a position to win or lose games, man, sometimes it comes down to that quarterback.
It does. And I think that's why it all depends on this season. Yeah. I think this is such a crucial year for Dak. I believe that he probably... one or two guys might have a little bit more pressure than him or equal pressure, but I think the pressure this year is so heavy on Dak. I think that this changes, whatever happens this season, changes the course of this franchise for a while. Do we stay with Dak or do we start thinking about the future? All depends on what and how he plays this season. I think Micah's here regardless.
Yes.
I think he's the best since Lawrence Taylor.
I think if we're being reasonable here, he's probably going to get around a 35-year contract, which is a lot of money, understandably,
but
you're not making quarterback money at that rate.
No.
So,
no.
And it's just so hard, and I don't want to like take over your time here, but look, it's so hard to find good quarterbacks. It just is.
It is.
And we talked about this before months ago during
the
playoffs,
Jets.
Right?
Yeah.
Look at the Jets, right? We talked about this months ago about, is Dak good? Is he great, right? I think he's very good. I think there are times where he can be great, and he shows signs of greatness, but he's not consistently great. But how long do you want to risk losing your franchise and frustrating your fan base further by, we're going to start looking for the next prodigal son, our next quarterback to lead us to the promised land?
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough question.
And you look at the Eagles, they were basically in that no man's land and lucked into Jalen Hurts.
It fell into Hurts in the second round. I'm sorry.
I mean, and the bottom line is they were really ready to get rid of him at the beginning of last year. They wanted Russell Wilson.
So, you can
really go into that area where I don't know where we're heading. We do have some news that the Cowboys, and this is a report, Cowboys could be prepared to offer CeeDee Lamb about $20 to $25 million. Any problem on that from either one of you guys here?
You go ahead first. I'm going to check something on this.
I mean, I think 25 to
you've got to pay him
20
that.
To 25 to 30. I think that's all fair. I mean,
he's your number one. He is a number one in this league, top 10 easily.
He's your number one. I don't have a problem with the money. And, like, I have to say that just as someone who, like, goes on salary cap websites all the time, I'm always pouring through numbers and stuff. I don't have a problem with CD getting that number. I don't have a problem. I mean, honestly, even further back, I don't have a problem with Dak's numbers at all. Because I don't personally believe that if Dak Prescott is here for the next 3 or 4 years, that he'll ever make above $35 million or so, maybe even 30. He's going to be restructuring his deal next year to be making somewhere around 23. So I think that while Dak is here, I think that he's made enough money now to where he's going to start being, I mean, not trying to be like this, but being Tom Brady smart.
I hope you're right.
He's got a great head on his shoulders, and like, quite frankly, when you're not, and it's not a shot at Dak, but when you're not, and we've talked about it before, we don't think he's uber elite. We just think he's good, like Tristan said, very good. When you're not that uber elite, when you're not that Patrick Mahomes level, I think it's okay to take less and say, you know what? Pay that CeeDee Lamb $25 million. Go pay Micah Parsons $30 million. Heck, see if you can sneak Diggs in too while you're at it. Like, I think that
Diggs is going to be a harder sign. I think
he's going to be
a little bit tough. I think he's got his brother in him a little bit. They're obviously...
And it depends on his season, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know. We'll have to see what happens there.
But I've got no problem with the CD money, man. I mean, it's like you mentioned, you got to pay the man. You just have to. He's your guy.
Hearing a lot of things out of camp, how much do you think Brandon Cooks is going to affect CD Lamb this year? Do you think he's going to pull away from CD Lamb's numbers, or is he going to enhance CD Lamb? Is it going to make everything better?
I think that Brandon Cooks, I got to watch him when he was a New England Patriot. I really loved him coming out of college, especially with his time with the Saints. And he's been very successful everywhere he's been. He's been a 1,000-yard receiver for every franchise he's played for, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
It's impressive. Cooks, it's very impressive.
Brandon Cooks is a terrific number two. He is your perfect number two for a guy like CeeDee Lamb. Because CeeDee Lamb's a little more Swiss Army. That's the way I at least look at him. I remember when he was in college. And he's not necessarily a speedster guy, but he gets that yak yardage, right? I like Brandon Cooks as that compliment. Brandon Cooks could very well get 65 catches for 1,000 yards and 6 touchdowns, and that's a terrific season for your number two wide receiver. And CeeDee could still put up 1,400 yards on like a prolific season, 90 catches and like 8 or 9 touchdowns himself. Those two can work very well in tandem. I see the potential there. It's just going to come down to how pass reliant is this Cowboys offense really going to be. But I don't think Cooks takes away from CeeDee at all.
And that's a perfect segue because I wanted to do these over unders with you guys and see if you guys had. Dak, I'm looking at some of these, and this is coming off. This one particularly is coming off FanDuel, and that's the one I wanted to look at. They have an over under. Obviously, you say you can do the futures right now. These will change as we get closer into the season. But Dak Prescott throwing for over 3,900 yards this season. That's basically a 4,000-yard season. Mm-hmm. Over 4,000 yards. I personally don't know if he is. I think if he does, he scrapes it. And it's not because he's not a pass efficient guy. We've seen him do this before. I just don't know what that McCarthy offense is going to look like. I think it's going to be a lot more ball control, running the clock down, being a little bit more efficient, and not the Kellen Moore, which is a little bit more aired out than the Cowboys are used to. I know they have weapons, but I think McCarthy is a little bit more calculated in how they use that. So I would actually go under there. What say you?
It's a tough one. I think I agree with you. I think I'd go under as well. And I think what makes me kind of lean that direction is a lot more of I'm not sure. All I know about the McCarthy offense right now is what I've heard from beat reporters and what I've heard from interview clips. And I think what we've heard is exactly what you indicated. He's looking to do more ball control and he's looking to kind of keep it on the ground more. So that would make me think maybe not quite 4,000 yards, maybe more like a 3,400 yard season, like still a really efficient season, like still like, and by no means am I saying Dak will have a bad season. I just don't think he'll air it out as much.
What do you say?
I think he's going over. I think Dak's at the level and this receiving core, all these weapons that are built for this kind of passing game. I'm not saying he's going to throw 5,000 yards.
Yeah.
But I think he could probably hover around the 4,100 mark. I think I would take the over personally.
And the reason I would, if I can say both sides, and I don't want to, I'll still take the under, but the one reason I would lean that way is because I do think that Dak kind of feels that pressure too. Mm-hmm. And now that he has the weapons, everything he's been saying is it's all or nothing this season. This is the season. There's no excuses. And so there might be, hey, I'm here for a while, Mike. I'm airing this out. And we've seen Dak get a little bit more aggressive in the last several years, and some of them have led to picks and stuff. But I still think that at the end of the day, if they're winning these games on the ground, I think Dak's smart enough. I think he's going to stick with that. I will say this, speaking of the ground then, Tony Pollard, over 1,100 yards rushing. Or under.
Well, he is the lone running back in this backfield.
as of now.
So, as of now, right? I mean, given the present circumstances, I feel like that would have to be... I feel like he'd probably go over, right? I mean, are we talking just rushing yards or scrimmage yards?
This is rushing yards.
Just rushing?
Scrimmage way over, for
scrimmage
sure.
Scrimmage probably way over.
No question.
Just rushing yards. I think he's hovering around that mark.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be fair to say, given present circumstances, he could probably get over 1,100 pretty soundly. There's just nobody else in that backfield right now I see that's going to push against him, and I don't expect him to throw the ball 50, 60 times a game. So,
No, I completely agree with you. See, I know I've been maybe too high on Tony Pollard at times, possibly, if you can be that way, but I do really think... I know that last year, and you look at maybe his 3 touchdown game and say, we've seen the high water mark for Tony Pollard. We know the best he can be. But to me, I'm kind of thinking like this season can be the best we can see of him. We've got an offensive coordinator, meaning Mike McCarthy, who's looking to focus the game more on the run. And not a shot at Zeke. I know all I ever do when I talk about Zeke is how much he's hurt our team, but Zeke has kind of screwed Tony Pollard over the last few years, and like finally getting to be that guy, to be the number one. I mean, honestly, I think he could go. I think we could have like a 1,200 yards rushing and like a 750, 800 yard receiving, 10 touchdown plus. Like, I have large expectations for Tony Pollard this season.
Wow.
I'm going under again, and I'll tell you, it's just because I don't see him. I don't think his workload, it might increase a little bit, but I think that they're going to plug someone into the Ezekiel Elliott role. Now, he's going to be the featured back.
Hopefully not Zeke, right?
And somebody else, yeah. I don't think Zeke Elliott's on the team. Sorry about that, guys. I do think that they're going to try to use Deuce Vaughn in some ways. I do think Ronald Jones is going to be a part of this offense. And I also think that this rookie, Hunter Lemke, is going to play a little bit of a role in the fullback,
yeah,
basically, that they got out of, I believe, is North Dakota State as an undrafted free agent. So,
that's a football factory.
Yeah, I just...
They're pretty good. Yeah, they're pretty good.
I think that was when they signed him. I'm kind of, and I heard some good things out of camp. I'm thinking that's the deal. And when you hear a guy like Dak come out and say, "Hey man, Deuce is really, I think he can immediately make an impact." And also, you have to remember about Turpin. We didn't really see a lot of him last year on the offensive side of the ball.
Oh, not until the very end, right?
Yeah, I definitely think that they might be incorporating him a little bit more. I think that it's going to be a little bit more even. So I think Tony, if he does, he's going to catch a lot, obviously, as well. So line of scrimmage stuff. But I would see him under here. Mm-hmm. And that leads to the last 7.5 touchdowns. Do you think over under there for Tony Pollard?
For TP.
For a feature running back, I say over again.
Right.
I just feel like these are just a shy low, in my opinion.
Yes, I think both of them are low.
I will go over on this because I see him around that.
Like, yeah, there's just so many opportunities. Oh, you're within 5 yards of the goal line.
Now, that said, rushing touchdown.
You're not going to throw the ball there.
Let's be honest.
Okay, rushing touchdown. Okay,
rushing
touchdown. Because he's going to get some receiving touchdowns, too. There's no question. But I do think even just rushing, it's like I've said, I'm extremely bullish on Tony this year. And I think that, like Tristan just said, that's your feature running back right now. So you're talking a feature running back on a top, this is fair to say, right, top three team in the NFC. This is a team that I think most people would be pretty disappointed didn't at least get one playoff win, maybe even NFC championship. So if this team is on that level, Tony Pollard is going to get 8 rushing touchdowns. I mean, if he doesn't, either we picked up someone else who's really awesome. Maybe Leonard Fournette comes in and is like a goal line puncher for us, and he really kind of robs Tony of some of those kind of like a... Who was that Lions running back that robbed Jamal Williams that robbed DeAndre Swift of all those fantasy points last year? Maybe it could be something like that.
He's on your team, right?
I actually think he was.
I got screwed out of that.
But he was on Austin's team.
But here's the thing. Yeah. Pollard, looking at it, he had 9 last year. 9 rushing touchdowns, and that's with Zeke who had 12. So
that's a shared,
You just added a few of those less carries. So I think that goes way over there.
That's low.
Yeah, and the last question I have, Dak Prescott, 28 touchdowns. Do you think he throws more or less than 28 touchdowns? And this is a number I can't find anywhere. I'm just going to throw that out there because, again, last year, what do you have, 35, 36, 30?
I think so, something like this.
Something like that. I know he missed some games, so I might be a little low, but a little high.
Man, I sound
28
like
touchdowns.
I must sound like a Cowboys fan on this podcast, because I think 28's pretty reasonable. I think a decent quarterback in the NFL right now can hit 28. I think Dak's better than decent. I'm saying over.
Over.
Yeah, I would go over. I would expect more of that number you just mentioned, like that 30 to 35 range. And are we talking just passing? Because Dak might give you a rush or two touchdown.
And that's
might...
me throwing out the passing touchdown. I can't find that any prop. Yeah. I just put that number.
I think over, yeah.
Barring any injuries aside, obviously.
These are all considering
we're assuming
that these
he's playing
guys
17
are healthy.
Games.
So I think he goes over in that as well. But I wouldn't go too much. Maybe 30, 31 touchdowns.
I don't think he's hitting 40.
No.
I don't, again,
because that's more of a Kellen Moore era down. I just don't think that we're in that era right now. And the last question I have for you guys, out of the rookies that the Cowboys have got, we've heard about a little bit, is there one that you're most excited to see? Is there one that you're like, God, I really want to know what they're going to do with this guy? Or, man, I've heard a lot about him. I can't wait to see blank on the field.
I hate to be like the most surface level of football fan here, but like, wouldn't it be kind of crazy if I didn't say Mozzie Smith? Like,
he's your first round pick.
Your first round pick. He's the first gigantic, large man the Cowboys have drafted in that position in a very long time. And I mean, we've been sitting here talking about how awesome Micah Parsons is. We've been sitting here. I've mentioned earlier, well, hey, you know, sometimes you might see Tank get moved into a defensive. So we've got all of these edge rushers that are just waiting for some anchor to hold down the center of that defensive line and make two offensive linemen. You have to. When Mazi Smith is on your defensive line, that other team has to dedicate two defensive or offensive linemen to him every single time. And if they don't, Mazi Smith is going to create pressure up the middle, push your little quarterback outside, and then Micah Parsons or Tank Lawrence or whoever heck else is going to feast on them. So that's who I'm most excited to see.
Is there one for you?
I'm going to say Luke Schoonmaker. I was really big on the tight ends in this year's draft class, and Schoonmaker coming in, I think he could very well be competing for that starting role. I see him as a very good red zone threat over the middle. I know Cowboys love their tight ends over the middle, historically Jason Witten-esque. So, yeah, I like Luke Schoonmaker. That's who I'm going to spotlight personally.
You know, I'm looking at the defense and as well, but I'm not going to go the first. I think that one's pretty obvious. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants that first-round pick. But a guy, I don't know why, and I've heard a lot of things, and again, this is all coming from camp. It was hard for me, either overshown, but the fourth-round pick, this guy from Fehoko, mm-hmm. I kept hearing this whenever Dan Quinn was being interviewed about how he loved that guy's motor. And that guy just came in and he was all over the place. And it seemed like a Dan Quinn pick. He was so happy to see what he's going to do with him, put him on the DN and stuff. That's a guy that, I mean, he got for nothing. He could have gone higher. There were a lot of people that were high on him in general, but yet it seemed like there's not a lot of noise about it.
Out of San Jose State, correct?
Yeah.
That's probably why.
That's
exactly it. If that was a 1A, if I could have a 1B, it would be overshown because the same thing, when they drafted him, they were flipping out and going, there was consideration from what I hear that the Cowboys wanted to take him in the second round, but they thought, well, maybe we could get him in the third. So they've got a plan for that guy. And both those guys seem like, to me, Dan Quinn is just, you know, rubbing his hands together and everything like that. So I think that those are the two guys that I'm excited to see. So until next time, we're going to take a little bit of a break. We are going to come back with America's Team. America's Team, I should say. Austin York, Dylan Reed, and Tristan Rines. Until next time, have a great one, guys.